the highest, the fastest, the farthest, the strongest. In language, such words are called superlatives, and it seems legitimate to assume that during the Olympic Games, which are currently underway, superlatives get used a great deal. Those who are competing strive to be the something-est and are often interested not only in being the winner of the year of competition, but also of breaking whatever records might be in place. Humans as a whole find records to be rather fascinating, as evidenced by the existence of such books as the Guinness Book of World Records. For some reason, we are curious about the farthest flight ever flown and the largest pumpkin ever grown. We're curious about the tallest man that ever was and the guy who swallows swords just because. The most astounding records of all, however, are found in an entirely different book, the Bible. There we find the most impressive records in the world and even beyond the world, and read about the one who holds those records. In the 9th and 10th verses of Hebrews chapter 2, which was part of the epistle lesson this last weekend, the author says, "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." We'll start with that which might be viewed as a very negative record. This text from Hebrews, after all, speaks of suffering, and suffering is the direct result of sin. So, who is the worst? Who's the worst criminal ever to live on earth? Who's the one that is the lowest, the most condemned? Well, that, our flesh is quick to say, clearly has to be somebody other than ourselves. Our flesh is very quick to look at the failings of other individuals as being far greater than our own. Names such as Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and so forth might quickly come to mind. But if we are being honest with ourselves, we'll see ourselves as the holders of that record. Paul did. He called himself the chief of sinners. And we should arrive at the same conclusion when we assess our lives in comparison to the requirements of God's law. When we compare the list of sins that we have committed with those that might be known of someone else, it's always going to come out that we have a much, much longer list, if we're really being true about it. Because we know the things that are sinful that go on in our minds, in addition to the things that are carried out in actions that others can see. According to the record book of the Bible, however, it is actually correct to say that the worst criminal ever to live is someone else. That title goes to Jesus, who was made the greatest criminal ever to walk the face of the earth. Our text says that Jesus was made a little lower than the angels, that is, he was made a human being, for suffering. He suffered. He suffered for sin. He suffered for sins of the entire human race because God placed on him the iniquity of us all. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. The language is strong. God made Jesus to be sin, the very embodiment of human iniquity. And of course, the record sinner is going to get the record punishment. Jesus became a man, we're told, for the suffering of death, that he should taste death for everyone. The cumulative punishment for the sin of the entire human race of all time was placed on the Lamb of God. He was put under the most severe curse, experienced the most hellish punishment, was abandoned by God. He experienced the worst. We know, however, that the Lord's records are not limited to the consequences of our sin. On the contrary, 3 short days after Jesus' hellish death, the world witnessed the greatest victory in all of history. even though the devil and his legions were exerting all of their power and strength to try to keep Jesus down, he exerted his divine might and broke free. We're told Jesus is no longer, Christ being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. The Jesus in this text is no longer in the grip of death. Rather, he took death by the throat and vanquished it. In the ultimate contest, which would determine the eternal champion, Jesus came out on top. Jesus came out number one. It is only fitting, therefore, that he be given the number one position, and so he was. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor. 40 days after his victorious resurrection, the heavenly coronation commenced. Jesus, who experienced the worst suffering, the most agonizing time, who was abandoned by God, was now exalted the most. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has reached the top. Those are his records, and they're never going to be surpassed. No other names will ever be attached to them. The amazing thing, however, is that it was not just for his glory that he did what he did. Most, if not all, human beings who pursue some type of record do so for the glory that it will bring themselves. Jesus, however, did what he did for the purpose of sharing his glory with us. It was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Jesus did everything that is recorded in this record of his accomplishments in order that our names could be recorded in the book of life. When we remember that the Lord came to serve as our substitute, it all becomes clear that his great accomplishments, his records, are our accomplishments, our records. When he experienced condemnation for sin, we experience condemnation for sin. That's all over. When he conquered death, we conquered death. That's firmly established. For what happens to the head happens to the body. The record this, the record that, you can probably find a record for just about any activity. And those individuals who have broken certain records certainly make for some interesting reading. But their various accomplishments don't really benefit the rest of us in any significant way. The person who has jumped the highest hasn't really heightened my life. But the superlative accomplishments of the Lord are of great benefit to us because all that he did for us. Our very own brother holds the greatest records of all. And he who has ascended to heaven's highest place now uses his position to raise us to eternal life and glory. His success means our success. And so we read with thanksgiving the record of his records through which we receive the gold, the golden crowns of eternal life through faith in him. We sing this morning hymn 360, verses 1, 3, 5, and 6. Hymn 360, 1, 3, 5, and 6. Tongues to the